Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
Hello, my name is Rahasia and I'm going to be your host this evening. And I also write a column for the Lotus Guide magazine, and you can find pretty much everything that I do by typing in hashtag Rahasia Uncensored. Welcome to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show here on BBS Radio. And you might be asking, why spiritual? Well, the way I see it, we are misguided souls looking for the truth of who we are. You might be asking, why activist? Well, because we are living in transformative times when we need to take back our power as spiritual beings and take action in the world, not with violence, but by the evolution of spiritual consciousness and bringing what's going on in the world out into the light. Because like it or not, we are deep into everything from genetic modification to artificial intelligence, and at the same time watching a dysfunctional world collapse right before our very eyes, and a global monetary system that is at the end of its run. Its days are coming to a close. So thank you for tuning in for the next hour, and I hope you enjoy the show. Well, how are you doing? Here's another Spiritual Activist podcast. So I just want to say a few things here about the coronavirus. And there's a lot of information out there, a lot of disinformation, misinformation. And hey, I'm really up for a good conspiracy anytime too, but you really have to be a little careful right now because you never know if this is being underplayed, overplayed, blown out of proportion, or the only thing, but there's some things that have me concerned. Okay, now, first of all, I know there's some people dying of this and some people being infected, but the amount of deaths isn't the problem. I mean, there's way more suicides and traffic accidents and drunk driving, and the amount of people is not the problem. What's the problem is, was this accidentally let out into our world, or was it let out purposefully? Now, I ran into a bit of information. You might have been, you may have seen this on the internet. It's a book by Dean Koontz, K-O-O-N-T-Z. It's called The Eyes of Darkness. Now, there's already disinformation sites out there trying to dismantle this story, but think about this. I mean, this is a fictionalized story that was written in 1981. I think the second edition came out in 1990-something. But listen to this. Now, this, keep in mind, this is 39 years ago, written by a writer, a fictionalized story. And in the story, there's a Chinese researcher that's coming here with information about a virus. I'm just going to read a little bit to you. And his name is Li Chen, too. And there's a Li Chen involved in this virus somehow, too. To understand that, Doombi said, you have to go back 20 months. It was around then that the Chinese scientist named Li Chen defected to the United States, carrying a diskette record of China's most important and dangerous new biological weapon in a decade. They call the stuff Wuhan. That's the town where it came from, Wuhan 400, because it was developed at their rDNA labs outside of the city of Wuhan, which it was. It wasn't in that little market, like we were first told. And it was the 400th viable strain of man-made microorganisms created at that research center. And it goes on to say Wuhan 400 is a perfect weapon, da-da-da-da. And here's another little bit of it. They're even saying the year. In around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and the bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments. Blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. Here's the important part of this. And again, that book was called The Eyes of Darkness by Dean Koontz, 39 years ago. Now, here's my question. Either Dean Koontz is the psychic of the century, a time traveler, maybe a time traveler, or he was given this information and told to write it, or the moronic people in charge of things like this decided to use this as a playbook, a script. And this goes on too. What happens in the book is it's released in 2020. Then it sort of miraculously, mysteriously subsides and fades away for a while, only to come back 10 years later in 2030 with a vengeance and just wipes out vast amounts of humanity. And at that point, China could come in and, you know, basically scrape everybody up, but the infrastructure would still be there. That's one way to win a war. Not a very nice way, but it's one way to win a war. So when you think about things like this, you have to ask, okay, somebody knew about this almost 40 years ago. They knew about the strain, they knew about the city, they knew about the year, everything. Now, why they would do something like this, wow, your guess is as good as mine, because it seems like you'd want to keep this a secret, except there is this strange thing too. I've noticed over the years that even though it's might come out as a joke or just semi-serious, there are times when every conspiracy has to be talked about beforehand. I mean, look at 9/11. That showed up in cartoons and TV shows and years before 9/11 happened. Walt Disney, everything. I'm sure you guys know the conspiracy stories around that, but the point is, it had to be talked about. It had to be given to us in some kind of a format. I don't know if that's part of the laws of the Matrix. I have no idea, but it seems like, even if you go into the religious circles, the devil has to be invited into your life. Dracula has to be invited into your home. We have to make an initiation. We have to recognize evil before it will come into our life, and we almost have to invite it. I don't know if you've heard a thing by David Goldberg lately, but look up David Goldberg, final thoughts or final talk. And listen to what he has to say about what's going on. I think he lost his life because of this. He was down in Mexico on a treadmill, and he fell, and he fell so hard that it killed him. I don't know. I've fallen up a treadmill, but you'd have to fall pretty hard. And the place where it was supposedly happened, the hotel said, no, he wasn't here. He was across the street. Across the street, the people there said, you know, Mexican people are going, I don't think it was an accident. You know, probably wasn't. Look up. David Goldberg, final thoughts. You judge for yourself. But there's a lot going on right now. A lot of things are getting out in the open. And I'm concerned about the coronavirus. And I obviously have feelings for the people that are dying and being sick. But I tell you, my real concern is the fact that our whole planetary financial system, our civilization itself, is all on the precipice. It's so precarious. I'm really worried about our global civilization more than I am the coronavirus at this point, because our reaction to things, I mean, look how we reacted to 9/11. Two planes went into a building, and the conspiracy is, that 19 hijackers sit around in a cave, came over here, figured it out, learned how to fly planes really well, and flew two planes into the World Trade Center, and somehow, within 10 seconds, turned them both into dust. That's never happened before. Even though all the firemen and everything, they heard explosions and everything. It was it's ridiculous to believe this conspiracy story. Oh, by the way, I'm calling it a conspiracy story, but it's actually the real story that the government told us. You know, the real story that another plane, pretty much like those planes, flew into the Pentagon and hardly burned it at all. And they only found a couple of pieces of plane there. They never have found the black boxes. The only thing they did find was a passport that miraculously escaped from the infernal fires at the World Trade Center and floated to the ground in pristine shape too, by the way. I mean, let's face it, if you still believe that story, you're listening to the wrong podcast, because there's a lot of catching up to do. And I don't know, at this point, if you still believe that story, I'm not sure you're going to catch up, because you've been indoctrinated. And like I said, you're probably not even listening to this podcast. This podcast is more for people that's not only thinking out of the box, but just thinking instead of accepting other people's beliefs that have been indoctrinated into us. So in our next issue of Lotus Guide, I wanted to sort of talk about the coronavirus and a little bit the slant that I'm talking with. And I even wrote a note from the Lotus Guide. We feel it's important to address the coronavirus, and while remembering the severity of the situation, at the same time remembering the power we have regarding epigenetics and the importance of positive thoughts. There's a lot of information out there, and wading through it is a daunting task because of the disinformation. Personally, I feel this will appear to subside, but we need to be mindful, because if this keeps happening, we may be in for something even more serious. So use common sense, stay hygienically on top of it, and avoid crowds. Then I go on to say, this is sent to me by Bruce Lipton. He's been in our magazine, I think, 3 or 4 times. But I wanted to know what he had to say. Here's the whole, I'm not going to read the whole article. It gets into some things here. I almost wish I would read the whole thing. But while the placebo effect, this is from Bruce Lipton. While the placebo effect demonstrates the effectiveness of positive thinking in shaping health, what about the influence of negative thinking? Negative thoughts engage the nocebo effect, whose influence is equally powerful to that of the placebo effect, but works in the opposite direction. Negative thinking, characteristic of the nocebo effect, can cause any disease and even death from nothing more than a thought. Now, it goes on, and this is where it gets into the coronavirus. It's not really the power of positive thinking or negative thinking. It is simply the power of thinking and how our thoughts control our biology. This insight fully reflects the fundamental principle of quantum physics. And he goes on and on to talk about the placebo effect and the nocebo effect. At the present moment, the public is again being challenged by the influence of negative thinking as it relates to the fear of another life-threatening pandemic, this time the coronavirus. Please note an important fact about the historic and famous deadly pandemics such as the Black Death, which was called the bubonic plague, in the 1300s and 1918 swine flu, both of which caused millions of deaths. Medical researchers have established that the health of those who died in those plagues were already physically compromised. They were extremely malnourished and lived in the most unsanitary environments. Similarly, we are led to believe that measles almost also represents a deadly disease. While years ago, when I was a young, and he jokingly says, to the contrary, I wasn't born in the Dark Ages, everyone got the measles as a rite of passage. And if you want to read this article, it'll be online at lotusguide.com in about a month. But Bruce Lipton, he is a microbiologist, and he really goes into these things. And he knows as well as a lot of us do that do this incredible thing called thinking and suspend our beliefs that are unsubstantiated to the side. I mean, I don't know. I'm going to ramble on here a little bit. And it seems like every time I talk like this, it gets into religion. But it's something we need to think about. 80%, according to an organization called START, 80% of terrorism on this planet right now is caused by extremist Muslim extremists. So it's easy to point the finger at them for their insanity because they are the religion of the day that's up on the stage. And we're all pointing our fingers at them. But there was a time when it was the Christians and the Crusades. And before that, when I wrote a book called To Believe or Not to Believe, The Social and Neurological Consequences of Belief Systems, there were over 21 religious wars going on at that time all over the planet. Now, I just want to give you something to think about here. The Christians, they believe in their God and they disbelieve in all the other gods. The Muslims, they believe in their God. The Israelis believe in their God, and they don't believe in other gods, even though it's the same God in the Bible, but that's neither here nor there. But my point is, if you're not going to believe in other people's gods, why not just go, like Sam Harris once said, go one step further and don't believe in any of them? I mean, do you really think that all the Muslims and that believe in the Islamic religion are born in a country on purpose? No, it's a social, it's a cultural learning and indoctrination. Do you think all the Christians are born in Western societies? No, it's because you're born into a Christian society and you're indoctrinated that way. This is the only reason. I mean, let's face it, all of you listening out there, if you were born in Iran or Iraq or Syria, there's a good chance you might have been in the Islamic religion. Hopefully you wouldn't be an extremist out there blowing people up, but still. The point is here, we need to take a look at our beliefs and realize that we're believing in an unsubstantiated, invisible space being that we pray to at night, and oh, he never answers us back, because he works in mysterious ways. And it goes downhill from there when you really start looking at it. So my point here is with religion, now look at the financial institutions. We have been completely bankrupt. We're so many trillions of dollars in debt, we obviously will never pay it off. It'd be like if I was in debt $400 million. It would be laughable for me to think that someday I'm going to be able to pay that off. It's not going to happen. I would have to go bankrupt and try to start over. That's what not only this country is going to do, it's what the whole world's going to do. And now with the coronavirus creeping onto the scene like this and causing people to have to stay home, I'm not saying it's bad. I think at this point we have to sort of be careful, wash our hands. It's what my grandma has been telling me for years, you know, wash your hands, you know, come in the house and wash your hands. These are common sense things, but all cultures don't do this. There are some cultures that, well, let's just say they're hygienically challenged, put it that way. That's a polite way to put it. In those countries, they're going to have a hard time because it's going to spread like crazy. Like there's diseases spreading in Los Angeles, in Skid Row. It's like a 56 square block section of LA. It's always been sort of down, but now they have diseases there that are coming back, and they only come back and they only spread fecal to mouth. That's the only way that they can do this. And we haven't seen these diseases since the Dark Ages. This is all because of hygienically challenged people. And this is happening in San Francisco, Seattle, all over the planet. We have reached a point to where our financial situation is socially impacting the health of our societies. And now with the coronavirus, I really don't know where this is going to go. I think it's sort of like the book. I think it's going to subside and mysteriously, miraculously get under control. I think it's going to happen. But like I say, what I'm worried about is the financial implications, the social implications of this. And I think China has to take a really good look at itself, too. It keeps coming from China, whether it's an accident or by design or on purpose or as a militarized virus that they've come out with. The other thing, too, is Wuhan was the first experimental city with 5G. And now all this conspiracy stuff is coming out that 5G might be interacting with the virus. Whether it does or not, I don't know. And I don't think hardly anybody actually does know. But it is an interesting parallel, coincidence, synchronicities. And we have to take a look at that because most of the time there's no accidents. Most of the time there's no accidents. Okay. Here's one of the things that's really changed on the planet. I mentioned David Goldberg a while ago, David Elias Goldberg. I think I might even play what he had to say, because I think they're going to eventually take this down. I can't see them leaving this up, especially if this is the kind of a thing that he died to get out. And people tell me, well, should you put it out? But you know, when somebody, a whistleblower, gives up their life, their freedom, their security, their family, everything to tell us what's going on, I don't know. Seems like we owe them something other than just a few minutes of watching their YouTube. We should try to get the word out. And this is some good information. Now it's going to, you're going to get a little bit, this is another indoctrination thing that we go through, and it has to do with Jewish people. Okay, I have lots of friends, and many of them are Jewish. I'm not against Jewish people at all, but I am very, very critical of the Zionist movement. And the reason I can say that is because even my Jewish friends are against the Zionist movement, the same way that Christians were against the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, let's face it, the Islamic people, there's a lot of good Islamic people, but they're against the extremists, the ISIS and the Al-Qaeda and all that. But the problem is, by our compliance, our silence, our non-committal to say something, we're actually supporting these groups. This has the Zionist really, really worried. They come up with some statistics years ago, and they figured that 0.05% of the people knew about the Zionist movement and the Zionist occupied government and all that, which isn't that many people, you know, but they knew it and they knew the danger. Well, now they think anywhere between 7 to 15% of the people are finally waking up and realizing that, hey, something's wrong with our government and with most governments on the planet. It doesn't look like they're in charge. And if they are, they're pathological and narcissistic. But I think this goes past them. Even Trump here lately, his narcissism has really gone down to almost nothing. I noticed his speeches about, not even speeches, they're just reverberations of scripts, but he's looking down, which if you read body language, you know he's accessing feelings when he's looking down like that, and he's very serious. I mean, if I look behind him and somebody had a gun to his head, it would make total sense how he's talking right now. It's a lot more serious than what he's letting on, and I think it has more to do than just the coronavirus. We're on the verge right now. We're on the precipice, the cusp of a global transformation of consciousness. And we're waking up. And as we wake up, we're starting to realize that, okay, I'm gonna play this thing by David Goldberg for you. And I know I'm going to get accused. There's going to be comments. But before you leave a comment, you better listen to what David Goldberg says. If it's a bad comment about the government or something, you need to be a little bit, use some discernment when you're dealing with the world out there in on the internet and in public. I do too. There's some things that going through my mind right now. You see my mind sort of almost look like it's sort of running into walls. Well, it's because there's some things I will not talk about. I absolutely will not talk about it. I've been warned if I talk about them, you can talk about, I can tell you one thing, because now the guy's dead and he died mysteriously too. But he called me up one time and told me, never ever do this. But I'm just going to mention it lightly. I won't put it in the description. He said, you can talk about the government and you can talk about reptilians, but never, ever, ever talk about them together and explain to people what that's actually about. For one, they won't believe you. But for two, it will put a target on your back. But there's other things that even more detrimental that I don't want to talk about in public anymore. I'm not a hero. I have too many people depending on me, counting on me to make really good decisions. But I do like to go up to the line. And I've never really, I've just never really responded all that well to authority figures, especially when they don't know what they're talking about. And the authority has to do with laws that makes my life worse. You know, laws are supposed to make your life better, make a society run better, but it doesn't do that anymore. It just ends up putting people in prisons. But we're in a mess right now. But I'm going to play this by David Goldberg. And it's about 24 minutes, something like that. But it's well worth listening to. And you can let me know what you think in the comments.
Hello, everyone. This is David Goldberg again. This is probably going to be one of my most important videos that I've done yet. We're going to discuss a couple of things, new things that have come up. I have received classified documents from my White House insider, and we also have some memos that I've referenced in the past, and I'm going to walk through everything that I've been deciphering and learning from these videos. Excuse me, from the documents that I've received. So, we'll get into this. The crux of it, I want to just introduce you right away. What is it all about? This is it. This is what the documents reveal. There are too many people waking up. There are too many Americans, more and more of them, that are suspicious of Israel. More and more Americans aware of Zionism. This has been around for decades and decades. You go back to the 50s, 60s, there's a lot of literature about Zionism, about Judaism. It's not unusual, but the difference is today, more and more people are waking up to it. It's been a real tipping point where you always had maybe about 0.5% of the population that was aware of Zionism, that did not like Jews and whatnot, but they were never part of the mainstream. They were always dismissed as conspiracy theorists. They had no influence. So they were not really a threat. But that has changed. And you know that has changed. Anyone paying attention knows that has changed. We have seen a big change in comment sections on YouTube, many people making references to Zionism. It has become a part of the nomenclature through the influence of 8chan, 4chan, many, many websites, and ultimately many, many YouTube channels that have been speaking the truth very aggressively for many years, but it is really gotten attention lately. It is somewhat of a cumulative effect, a snowball effect, where more and more people start to wake up to the truth and the facts, and it just expands. And people become more accepting of it. And they start to say, okay, it's okay for me to look at the information. I'm not an anti-Semite for looking at it. And it really starts to click for people. So this has been a big change in the recent past few years. What happened is that Israel, its agents, its propagandists, have been playing very, very, very close attention to this over the past few years. They know this is happening. They are very concerned about it. We're talking about 0.5% of Americans who have some idea of Zionism and they're against it and they understand it. That number, according to these documents, is now about, I saw two numbers. They said 15%, and another one said 7%, but that is a very large number of Americans that have woken up to what's going on with Israel and Zionism and the Israeli lobby and the influence. They're unafraid to hate Israel. That number is very high, and it has them very concerned. This is much of what the classified documents talk about, but we'll get into that more. I wanted to set it up for you so you actually understand what this is really about. What I was given from the White House insider. The main part that you really need to know, though, is they have a plan for all of this. So I'm going to talk about that now. There is discussion within these documents years ago to ban the YouTube channels, to shut it down, all of that. But they changed course. They made a decision to do something completely different. And they decided, instead of censoring everything, to fund and promote gatekeeper channels, shill channels, to simply gather and collect all the open-minded people who are looking at the issue. And they did shut down some of the legitimate channels, and that has actually happened. If you're following some of that, you are aware that there have been channels that have been shut down, almost completely eliminated. Some of those channels were not a part of the original gatekeeper channels. They have no connection. They are truth-telling channels. Some of those they've eliminated that they felt were a threat or that might be calling out the gatekeeper channels. So, I'm just looking through some of the documents here and seeing what I want to talk about next. One really interesting aspect of all this is that the gatekeeper channels and the shill channels, typically these would be disinfo channels. Disinfo channels like Alex Jones, for example, has been a long time disinfo Zionist channel. Very, very active in deflecting people away from Zionism. Alex Jones talks about everything, but he never talks about Israel. So that is an active disinfo channel that's been around forever. What they created with these new gatekeeper channels is very truthful channels. They're very honest. They don't put out a lot of disinfo. They are actually legitimate. And that is done to give them credibility among these people who are awake, who are waking up. That was very specifically done, the documents to talk about that. Now I'm going to talk about what is the purpose of the whole operation. And the purpose of this is to put out truthful channels, to attract people to them. They call it tag, track, and ID. It is a term used throughout the documents. TTID. It's something you want to remember. This is very common throughout these documents. They're referred to all the time. So what does that tell you? They want to tag, they want to track you, and they want to identify who you are. If you are watching these channels, if you are informed, if you are awake on these issues, they want to tag you, they want to track you, and they want to know exactly who you are. They want to know, and it talks about the tracking people's IP addresses through YouTube. They have access to YouTube. They do know who you are. So this is discussed a lot in the documents I'm just looking through right now. And there are two projects, and it's very important to listen to this. Project Pogo is one of them, and Project Zypher. I will spell that one. Z-Y-P-H-R. Project Pogo and Project Zypher are the two projects that the classified documents are referring to, and each has a different role. Project Pogo is about the YouTube gatekeepers, how they are all agents. They are all paid to put out truthful information so that they can tag, track, and ID the people that are watching the videos and giving them likes and giving them comments. They're tracking all of it. Project Zypher is a different project, and that's what I'll talk about in a bit. That is the second stage here. That is coming up. And that is the extermination. They're going to exterminate these people, whether it is tag them for anti-Semitic speech, charge them with crimes, eliminate them completely, and this is where I'll talk about in the documents where they talk about guillotines, viral attacks, targeted, how they're going to eliminate these people without too much suspicion, without too many people noticing. But here's the problem. As I read the documents, I can see I have documents from 4 years ago, I have documents from 2 years ago, and then I have documents from 3 months ago. So there's a progression in the timeline as the projects change. And Project Zypher has changed. In the beginning, they were talking a lot about, okay, we are going to infect these people with a virus that imitates the flu virus. They're going to eliminate them in various ways that would not be suspicious. In the documents I have now from 3 months ago, they are saying the amount of people they have to eliminate is too large. It is too many. We are talking about millions of Americans. And this is where we see their plans are changing. And they are going to initiate something that is devastating and that is extremely frightening. And based on what I can see in the documents, we're talking about power outages along with a purge. They're going to come in, they're going to take you out of your home, and they're going to put you into a military vehicle or whatever, a van, and drive you away and place you into a camp. It is a very, very big operation that they're planning. It is millions of Americans. They will do it under the cover of night, under the cover of blackness, during one of these planned blackouts. The blackouts are based on documents. I'm just looking at it right now. They have a 3-day blackout. They have a nationwide blackout that lasts 2 days and a lot of localized blackouts. So it is a whole series of blackouts that they're going to do. And of course, it will be blamed on all kinds of things. They might blame it on Iran. I have seen that mentioned in the documents. They've already prepped people for this. There are going to be more blackouts. They're already predictive programming. So we may see more of this as we go on. As far as I can tell from Project Zypher, they are planning this next year and the year after. They are not done tagging, tracking, and identifying everyone. It looks like they're at about 78%. I looked in the documents, and there were a couple of indications of how far along they feel in the project is. They're like 78% done. But they're not completely done. It does take time to identify a YouTube account and then track it to the email that it was created with and then the IP address and then find out who created it. It does take them a lot of time to do that. It is not instant. It does take a lot of research because a lot of people create a YouTube account with an email address that doesn't give any indication of who they are, an account name that doesn't have their full name on it. They don't use their real pictures. So it is a challenge for them, and that's why the project has been going on for so long. But it is coming to a close. In the next 6 months to a year, it appears it is coming to a close, and that is when Project Zipher will be initiated. So I have some notes here. I'm going to continue on and talk a little bit more about right. They're being tracked. They're being identified. That's the whole point. A lot of people have said, well, why are some of these YouTube channels allowed to exist? Why are they allowed to so openly talk about the truth? And some of you might know Adam Green, No More News, and there are a whole bunch of others, and they're very, very open about Zionism, and they're very honest about it, and they're telling the truth. I mean, they are telling the truth. They're not hiding anything. They're not disinfo. They're not putting disinfo out there. But as far as I know, they are part, I mean, they're all a part of this operation. I can't say specifically if Adam Green is a part of it or not, but I would assume possibly he is. He's probably been guaranteed a lot of money. He's probably been promised a lot of things. He could be a Freemason. He could be a part of their operation. He could be an agent. I don't know, but I have no idea. It is total speculation on my part. I have no idea. All I know is this is part of the operation, what they want to do. His channel would fit into the MO. It is an example I'm giving. He is there to tag, track, and ID. Not him specifically, but the people behind the operation who are doing all the research and all the people who are commenting and viewing and liking. They want to know who they are. They want to know where they live. And they are going to eliminate them at a date in the future. Completely eliminate them. This is going way beyond the idea of passing laws to ban speech, which they've already doing. They've done it in America already, but not very aggressively, and we will see more legislation of that nature. But they want to completely eliminate these people because they do stand in the way of the agenda. There are too many people that are waking up. It is way too many for them to handle. They're starting to have an influence, and they're starting to change the conversation online. It is of grave concern to Israel. Something that the memos that I received, we'll talk a little bit about the memos. The memos are different from the classified documents. The memos are White House internal memos that discuss a wide range of things in terms of Trump's meeting with rabbis, discussions with Netanyahu over the phone. And one of the memos says that Donald Trump will have to declare himself King of Israel publicly. This is part of the process for them. There's no strategic reason for it. It is symbolic for them. Trump is going to declare himself King of Israel at some point. I don't know how, but they're talking about it in these memos over and over again. When he's going to do it, why they want him to do it, which again is symbolic. It has no strategic purpose, apparently. It is part of the process of the end game, basically, is what I'm saying. So we'll see if that happens or not. It sounds ridiculous. I can't imagine him actually saying it. But maybe he will do something like that. We will look out for that in the coming months. Based on my reading of the classified documents and the memos, so much of what is going on is planned. They've given people the impression that Trump has brought chaos to politics, but it's actually the opposite. It has been planned. Donald Trump's allegiance is to Israel. He's not only a Jew, he is a Freemason. They have promised him, his daughter, the sons, will enjoy very high level ranking within the world government that they are forming, the capital which will be Jerusalem. So that is why Trump is so dedicated to following the script, while performing the way that he does. appears to be very authentic to his followers. Everything he's done talking about the wall to the fake news was scripted from the beginning in around 2014 and 2015. And according to some of the memos I'm reading, he loved it. They introduced all of this to him and he loved it. They told him the plan. You're going to become president. You're going to say this and this and this. He loved it. He's already a little bit of a racist. He's already predisposed to some of this rhetoric. So he loved it. He jumped on board. And they promised him great things, especially for his family, if he were to follow through on these things and simply follow their script. And he does have leeway. He has leeway to say many things that he wants to say. He has a lot of fun doing this. But he does have script writers and there's one of the script writers, I forget his name, he's bald guy. I want to remember his name, it's important to say it. He is a big part of this. He writes a lot of the Trump's tweets, he crafts a lot of it. Oh, I cannot remember. I'm going to have to look him up right now. Trump's speech writer, Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller has a big role in all of this. He is a dedicated Zionist. He has a lot to do with a lot of this. If you want to go down the rabbit hole, if you want to find out who's really behind it, Stephen Miller is a big part of it. So that is the whole of it. I want to get this video out. I want people to hear it. I want people to know what's going on. I've had some strange things going on in my house. I've noticed black SUVs. I mentioned it before. They're still there. I still see them every once in a while. The other day, I went out to try to approach one, to confront them. Like, what are you doing here? I know you're here. And they drove off. As I could be right when I opened the door, and I look outside, I see them drive off. So I don't know, maybe it was just coincidence that they were leaving and they saw, I don't know, but it seemed like they were very, very prepared to get out of there. So the next time I see them, I'm going to confront them quickly and make sure that they don't have time to get out of there before I have a chance to get down there, and at least they see me coming for them. I will try again. But I have seen them mostly at night. I open the window, I look out the window, and that is when I see them mostly. So I want to confront them. I'm tired of the harassment. I know they're watching me. I assume I'm bugged. I assume there's some way to hear what I'm saying, but I don't care anymore. I have been given the documents. I have been tasked with this duty to get the information out. I'm going to do it in any way that I can. I have given my friends copies of all of these. I have stored them in different places. I have a dead man switch in case something were to happen to me. So I've done my best to prepare because I feel like this is getting very serious. I mean, the documents they show me are terrifying. The plan that they have in place. I would expect they have this plan of gatekeeping and tracking people, but they're going to take it to a new level with Project Zipher. They're going to take it to a new level. They're going to exterminate these people one by one through the blackouts. I mean, it says in the classified documents they're planning to pick them up. They're just going to physically pick them up. They're also going to use all kinds of other means to eliminate them, not just. The high-value targets are going to be picked up. The lower-value targets will be given viruses, targeted viruses, that activate either right away or over time. They don't want it to be too obvious that all of a sudden a whole bunch of Americans get sick. Of course, there will be official stories in the news media. Okay, there's a flu outbreak, which indicates to me this will probably happen in winter. Not this winter, but possibly the winter of 2020. 2021. From what I'm reading from the documents, that is the timeline. It is not specific, but that is where I feel it's going to be. because they wanted to do a flu outbreak, and it will make sense in winter, and people won't question it. They have to eliminate a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people, high value of targets. It's going to be so many people that disappear that people will ask questions. So they have their cover stories, and they're getting them ready, and they got them in place. If this were a few hundred thousand people, they could do it, but it is millions and millions of Americans that they want to eliminate. I think it's 15 million. Based on what I'm reading in these documents and some of the numbers they've used, which has not been totally specific about it, but it looks like 15 million, but it could even be more. They want to eliminate them completely, completely. Because it's becoming a problem, and it has been a problem for a few years, and this is their solution to it. In addition to that, they want the world government, they want all of these plans to move forward. They cannot have opposition, because the things that are going to happen are going to be very, very radical. You're going to see the dissolution of the United States of America. You're going to see world leaders and the media endorsing something that is so crazy. And that is the dissolution of the United States of America and the endorsement of a world government seated in Israel. A lot of Americans aren't going to accept that, but they have to eliminate the people who are going to call out what's really going on. From my reading of the documents, how they're going to roll all of this out and justify the dissolution of the United States and many other countries as well, it appears their plan is to do all countries at once. It's going to be under the cover of financial collapse. Well, we have to do the world government. We're all going to die because the financial system is broken down. That is something that is talked about in the classified documents. That ultimately will be the cover story after they do the purge and eliminate the dissidents, the people who are woken up to Zionism. There will be a total financial meltdown, and they will say, look, we have to do the world government. We have to come together. We have to create this new currency. We have no choice. The chaos is too serious. It will be probably 6 months of complete financial chaos, food shortages, a rise in crime. Many, many people will die. Millions and millions of people will also die from this. And then they will justify it and say, look, we have to do the world government. So that is what's going on. I'm about done. I'm going to do another video. I have more things coming up. I have a lot more planned because there's more in the documents that I need to discuss. I'll be back with another video soon. Thank you for listening, and I'll do more soon.
Well, soon never came for David Goldberg. He died shortly after he made that video and put it up. Fortunately, he gave some of these copies to his friends, and I'm sure they'll keep passing the word around. And I think this is important to think about. Now, I know I'm going to get accused of being anti-Semitic and all kinds of things. And this is the problem with today's world. We're so touchy about everything. I've talked to a professor here at the local university. He says they can no longer really talk about things that matter, because it has to be in conjunction with what won't get young people upset. And yes, I'm talking about millennials. So many millennials sitting at home on their computers in their mom and dad's couch in their pajamas, you know, are causing so much problems on the internet. And my word to you is get out in the world. Start experiencing things before you judge it. And we do have a right to say something when it's against a race, a religion, a people, a society, a country, a nation. I mean, look at China. Don't you think we should start saying something because of all these viruses always coming out from their labs? It's not coming out from some sick bird. These are genetically modified, militarized genetic experiments that are escaping by accident or design from their labs. This is no laughing matter. Things like some of the frequencies that come out off of 5G and 4G, if it happens to hit the mitochondria, of a female, that mitochondria, for the first time in the history of the planet, is changed for every female that female will ever have, and that female, on and on and on. There are people using CRISPR. You can order CRISPR from Amazon to genetically redesign a dog or give yourself muscles. We have no idea what we're doing on this planet, and we're just doing it because we can. And I think there has to be some oversight, and people need to wake up and start looking at these issues and saying something before it's too late, because the time is coming when it will be too late. We can't keep doing what we're doing. We're destroying the planet. That might be irreversible at this point, for all I know. But we have the power within us to change our own genes. We have the power to start reaching out as individuals and coming together as communities and really changing this planet. Because if we don't, well, you know what? If we don't, we don't deserve the planet. We're just one of the recent species that have attained some semblance of consciousness, and I use that with air quotes, believe me, because most people are not conscious at all. They walk through their whole life, and maybe at the moment of death wonder, what in the hell did I just do? What just happened? So the time to wake up is right now, and I think we can start talking about these things, and obviously we better, because if we don't. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And read our magazine at lotusguide.com. You can always get all of my archive podcasts at bbsradio.com/spiritualactivist. So, you take care, stay safe, and wash your hands. And before I go, I'll play the Hello Virus from Wuhan. It's a song that some people come up with, and it's a little bit of levity. In a very serious situation.
Hello, virus from Wuhan. Another problem's here again. Because you see the contagion creeping, and the virus is indeed spreading, and the memory of sauce planted in my brain still remains. We stand and fight the virus. We hear of theories how it grew, from snakes and bats became a flu, passing the sickness from man to man. Now it's growing, getting out of hand. It's a virus that has traveled near and far. Corona, we have to fight the virus. And in the latest news I saw, 10,000 people, maybe more, people falling sick with much coughing, people falling ill with much sneezing, people worried for their health and their one so dear, pneumonia. We keep the fight, the virus. Keep your hands clean, always know. Hygiene will stop that virus grow. When you sneeze, cover with a tissue. Even coughing, just let me teach you. Wear a mask if you're sick so that others won't get it too. We count on you to help to fight the virus. Together we must overcome, to beat this virus, fight as one. For a life of health and harmony, It's in our hands, it's up to you and me. For the health of our land, of our friends and family, humanity, we will win this fight.